Blog Talk Radio.
Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. What is a Thanksgiving prayer? A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is
welcome here. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. And I hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music on this Wednesday evening. To God be the glory.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burdened. Can't stop your heart from hurting. The searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on.
Hold on.
To the hem,
to the hem
of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive this saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on,
to the hem of his garment,
of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Heard a story about a woman who had an issue of blood. For 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole. Alright. Oh yes. matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. Yes, please. All you gotta do is hold on to me.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to me.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes, please.
To the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh,
hold,
yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you, Father. I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will, and I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Father.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, God. have your story, oh, 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 hallelujah.
Searching for wisdom. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, in the CSB Bible says, "Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Where will you find wisdom today? Will you seek it from God or from the world? As a thoughtful woman living in a society that is filled with temptations and distractions, you know that the world's brand of wisdom is everywhere, and it is dangerous. You live in a world where it's all too easy to stray far from the ultimate source of wisdom, God's holy word. When you commit yourself to the daily study of God's word, and when you live according to his commandments, you will become wise in time. But don't expect to open your Bible today and be wise tomorrow. Wisdom is not like a mushroom. It does not spring up overnight. It is instead like a majestic oak tree that starts as a tiny acorn, grows into a sapling, and eventually reaches up to the sky, tall and strong. Amen. Today and every day, as a way of understanding God's plans for your life, you should study his word and live by it. When you do, you will accumulate a storehouse of wisdom that will enrich your own life and the lives of your family members, your friends, and the world. Knowledge can be found in books or in school. Wisdom, on the other hand, starts with God and ends there. Praise be to God. If we neglect the Bible, we cannot expect to benefit from the wisdom and directions that results from knowing God's word. This is my song. Through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. When you and I are related to Jesus Christ, our strength and wisdom and peace and joy and love and hope may run out, but his life rushes in to keep us filled to the brim. We are showered with blessings, not because of anything we have or have not done, but simply because of him. Praise be to God. They that sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully is as true in spirit, in spiritual things as in material. Here's a thought. God makes his wisdom available to you. Your job is to acknowledge, to understand, and above all, to use that wisdom. In Psalms 32:8, in the CSB, says, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Proverbs 4:7 in the New King James Version says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. And Proverbs 3:13 in the CSB says, happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. Matthew 7:24-25 in the CSB says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet, it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Amen. I hope and pray that this message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Lord, Make me a woman of wisdom and discernment. I seek wisdom, Lord, not as the world gives, but as you give. Lead me in your ways and teach me from your word, so that in time my wisdom might glorify your kingdom and your son. In his name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. God has a plan for you and me. Amen.
God had a plan before the world began
yes.
For you.
I can feel the spirit in this place. Come on.
God had a plan to make the soul of man renewed.
Oh, the spirit has a plan.
God had a plan.
God has a plan.
God had a plan to make the soul of man,
to make the soul of man renewed. Come on.
God. Dear Lord, make me a woman of constant prayer. Your holy word commands me to pray without ceasing, in all things great and small, at all times, whether happy or sad, let me seek your wisdom and your strength in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Command of sky and sea, Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I trust.
It is time for our devotional message. Praise be to God. Which is entitled, A Gift in Progress. And the scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from James chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. God gives us what he knows will bring us great pleasure and joy. Even though we, in our finite understanding, may not know fully what we need or desire. Take heart in that reality today. The Lord is proactive in meeting our needs. He creates, orchestrates, and engineers the solution that will further his plan for our lives and satisfy our souls. So you should never think that God is surprised by the needs or challenges you are experiencing, not even for a second. On the contrary, the Lord knows you far better than you will ever know yourself. He knew this situation would arise in your life long before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. And from that time, he's planned how he would bless you through it. That's right, bless you. This may appear to be a trial at this moment, but this is a vessel through which your heavenly Father desires to give you a gift. So today, thank the Father for whatever circumstances you find yourself in, no matter how difficult, knowing that he has a good plan for them, and his blessing is on its way. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you that you have planned good to come from all of this. I trust you and praise your name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. A gift in progress. God has a gift for you, and it is on its way. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection. Bible is your gift to me. Let me use it. When I stray from your holy word, Lord, I suffer. But when I place your word at the very center of my life, I am blessed. Make me a faithful student of your word so that I might be a faithful servant in your world. This day, and every day, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Gangsta faith means God's absolute, noble, glorious salvation to all families anywhere, including the heathen. Now that's gangsta. Now that's gangsta. I got the gangsta faith. I went from being a sinner to a backslider, a covenant breaking, addicted to money, guns, cushions, violent copy, fake temptation. On a regular basis, sticky situation, plot led to evil meditation. 14, face incarceration, daddy never on the scene. Only heaven knows why he abandoned his offspring. To my hope, he dealt a death blow. And it seems like the answer to my dreams, only a gangster knows. Now I'm feeling trapped, facing difficult times, trying to cope. As I inhale the clear smoke, I doubt I know. A few can know, I see the beat possessed by evil spirits plotting bad deeds. We are the dead target, the devil seeks to plant his evil seed. Our Christian faith is the only promise of liberty. So I look before the Trinity and validate the worldwide checkmate. I call it gangster faith, prepare my tables in the presence of my enemies. Gangster faith, I hold up the bloodstained banner until I'm 6 feet. I got the gangster faith, I'm sick to tell the world who Christ made free is free indeed. I got the gangster faith, God the Holy Ghost will protect me indeed. A worldwide checkmate, I call it gangster faith. No more violent, I became no more street power, I came the west side. Gangster taught me the game, get in, get it, get out before you slip in it, and you die in vain. I didn't listen, multi-gun shot stripped through my flesh in vain. I know mama prayer was working, I survived, and I know I spread the gospel truth. As long as I'm alive, I'ma walk my talk like a righteous man that's fake do. So let them judge me, no making see heaven's whole purpose for my life. I know God still love me, for God still love the world. He gave his only begotten son, so to my last breath, I'ma do to Christ what the world thought could never be done. Take back the tired music industry and shut down these rap commercial masquerades and reveal these fake. I'm not ashamed to holler worldwide checkmate. Gangsta faith, prepare my tables in the presence of my enemies. Gangsta faith, I hold up the bloodstained banner until I'm 6 feet. I got the gangsta faith, I'm fit to tell the world who Christ make free, is free indeed. I got the gangsta faith, God the Holy Ghost will protect me indeed. A worldwide checkmate, I call it gangsta faith. Gangsta faith, that's right. I wake, I pray the Lord, my soul to take. I got the gangsta faith, I'm still to spread the truth. God, the Holy Ghost, when make enemies my foot steward. I got the gangsta faith. The definition of gangsta faith is Holy Ghost discipleship within the heart. And you stand totally unafraid and with no fear, representing Christ the High. And you know, like I know, real saints don't die. We fall asleep in Christ, then we fly. Raise your hand, you bow to ride. Pull your last breath for the Most High. Cause real saints don't die. We fall asleep in Christ, then we fly. It's called spiritual resurrection. Don't let me take flight. First class of role of pure righteousness. Representing God's glory shining bright. And we ascend beyond the clouds to meet Christ in the sky. It was the presence of the Jesus that watched the Gentile like me. Christ reconciled. And God the Holy Ghost anointed me from my head to my feet. That's why I stand bold like Christ in your presence now. My face has seen Jericho walls falling down. All around the music industry. Christ stretched the blood for all who defy. Gospel rap, a multi-billion dollar kingdom franchise. I'm fit to possess the gates of the enemy. Call it gangsta faith. Cause I believe.
Dear Lord, I will place my hope in you if I become discouraged. I will turn to you if I am afraid. I will seek you in strength in every aspect of my life. I will trust you. You are my Father, and I will place my hope, my trust, and my faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Hear my heart cry.
Desperately wait.
Yeah. you to lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
Lord, when life is difficult, I am tempted to abandon hope in the future. But you are my God, and I can draw strength from you. Let me trust you. Father, in good times and in bad times, let me persevere, even if my soul is troubled. Let me follow your Son, Jesus Christ, this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. God bless you. Are you going to do tonight?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful. Please let me announce. And at this time, our very own Lady Nadine is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. It's been a while. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise, amen.
Praise God. It is truly a blessing to be here, back here again. And because this is an important book. This is a very important book, and we want to get through it because it's important because it gives you a synopsis of the Bible. It doesn't take away from us reading through the Bible, but at least it gives us a synopsis, a summary of what each book of the Bible, you know, represents. And when you go through these summaries and you read the Word of God, it sort of reinforces what you read out of the book. So I'm happy to be here.
I'm looking forward to getting
through the entire Bible. We're at Galatians right now, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we're at Galatians, and we're going to just keep chugging through. All the way to Revelations. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. So let's pray and just go dive into this word from the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Father. You are so amazing. I adore you, Lord God. You are marvelous, Lord God. You are Alpha, Omega. There is none other. None besides you, Lord God. And I thank you for you, Father. I thank you for your Son. And I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Trinity, Lord God, and just calling on you, Lord God, to be in the midst of this Bible study, Lord God. Help us to be able to diligently go through your Bible, Lord God. Help us to be able to go through. I call your Bible your love story for us, because you loved us so much. And the book just outlines, Lord God, how much you love us, Lord God, and all the things that you did to get to this point, Lord God, where Jesus Christ becomes our Savior for those who believe. So we thank and praise you for it, Lord God. And so, Lord God, I welcome you, Father, into this Bible study, and I ask you, Lord God, to open up our eyes and ears, Lord God, so that we can, and our hearts, Lord God, so that we know exactly what it is, Lord God, that you want us to not only receive, Lord God, but to apply, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay. Hi. Whose voice is that?
This is Joe from Scranton. How are you?
Oh, hi, Joe from Scranton. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you so much. So,
first of all, I want to thank you because I want to thank you, my sister, because, you know, Jesus is often seen as a central figure who offers salvation and guidance, but sometimes he needs special souls on planet Earth to get that message across, and that's exactly what you've been doing.
Amen, amen, amen. Absolutely, absolutely. So we are getting into the book of Galatians, and just some background information about how Galatians is actually broken down. It's actually
I have a question for you, sister. Can I ask you a question? Sister, can I ask for a prayer? Because I'm in need of prayer.
Tell me exactly what you would like us to pray for, because we can be specific with God.
Amen. We sure can. And that's why our God is who he is. And nothing is impossible with our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there? So
yes.
I work in politics, and you know, I'm worried about the economy. I'm worried about inflation. It's affecting me. It's affecting my family. It's affecting the good people of the Lord as well. And I want to, in my town, pass a bill, and I want to ask you if you could please pray that we get this bill passed where the churches can be taxed so we can use those taxes to help Mother Earth. Can we pray for that bill to be passed, that churches pay taxes?
Well, I'm going to pray for God for it to be within God's will, because whatever is in God's will happens. So I will pray for God's will to prevail.
But we need specifically, like you said, specifically, I need you to pray that the churches start paying taxes to help our economy. Can you do that?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Individuals pay taxes, or actually the church to pay taxes?
The church itself, because the church doesn't pay taxes, they're exempt. So I want to ask you to pray to God to please allow my bill to pass so that the churches in my community will be forced to pay taxes on the donations so we can help lift up the community.
Well, actually, the purpose of the church is to uplift the community from the monies that come into the church. The churches in the community are not doing what they should be doing. Well, I'm not going to get into a debate with you about that. But anyway, I will pray the prayer.
Go ahead. I'll close my eyes and listen.
What's your name again?
My name is Joe, and please ask God specifically to tax the churches. Thank you.
I'm not Joe. I don't pray. I pray for God's will to prevail. That's how I pray. I pray for God's will to prevail over your area, because we pray in God's will. Because there's some things that we don't want that God may not want. But if it's his will for it to happen, it happens. Mm-hmm. So that is what I'm going to pray for. For God's will in
your
area for the bill.
So So you won't pray specifically for churches to be taxed?
No.
I'll pray specifically for God to have churches taxed if it's in his will. That's what I'll pray if it's in his will.
All right, well, just, that works. But just say, can you please just ask our dear Heavenly Father to please tax all the churches so we can use the money to help this country?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. There's none other before you, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the churches, Lord God, because the church is yours, Father. And everything that happens in the church, Lord God, is to glorify you. That's the only purpose for our churches, Lord God, is to glorify you and to help the homeless, help the needy, help those who are in need, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, if it is in your will, Lord God, that this bill gets passed, Lord God, granted, Lord God. So this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. That was so kind of you, so humbling.
All right.
That was wonderful.
I'm going to get you're welcome. I'm going to get on to our lesson now.
And also, I'm going to prison. I was wondering if you could pray that I could develop the strength in prison so I could break out of there, because I was found guilty. I was mischarged.
All right. But right now, it's Bible study. So I don't want to deter from that. And I hear you about prison. But the purpose of this time is for Bible study.
But it'll only take 10 seconds for a prayer to please give me the strength in the gym.
And maybe I probably can pray for you at the end of Bible study. I'll give 10 seconds for that. But right now I want to focus on this Bible study lesson because we're in the book of Galatians.
Okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. I appreciate our Lord and all the good that you're doing. It does not go unnoticed, and I greatly thank you for your time and for making the world a better place.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Okay, so the book of Galatians, of course we know this is one of the books that was one of the epistles that was written by Paul.
Amen. Amen.
And, Paul wrote this epistle mainly
Amen,
because
Paul.
He wanted to.
God bless
yes,
Paul. Amen.
He wanted to show the people how important justification by faith was. And he was talking about liberty, the liberty that it produces. So Paul, the Galatians, having launched their Christian experience by faith, seemed content to leave their voyage of faith and chart a new course based on works, a course Paul found very disturbing. His letter to the Galatians is a vigorous attack against the gospel of works and a defense of the gospel of faith. Paul begins by setting forth his credentials as an apostle with a message from God. Blessings come from God on the basis of faith, not by the law. Because remember, these were Jewish people who were used to following the law.
Mm-hmm.
But faith comes is a free gift from God. The
yes.
law declares men guilty and impressions of them. Faith sets men free to enjoy the liberty in Christ. But liberty is not license. Freedom in Christ means freedom to produce the fruit of the righteousness through a spirit-led lifestyle.
Amen.
The book is called Pro Galatia, which it says the book is to the Galatians, and it is the only letter of Paul that specifically addresses a number of churches. Because it says to the churches of Galatia, in verses 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. The name Galatians was given to this Celtic people because they originally lived in a place called Gaul, G-A-U-L, before they migrated to Asia Minor. So we know the author is Paul, and the Pauline, those are the books of Paul, the Pauline authorship and the unity of this epistles are virtually unchallenged. The first verse clearly identifies the author as Paul, and we can see that when we get to it. Also, in chapter 5, verse 2, we read where it says, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you." So it's clear, very, very clear who the author of Galatians is and was. So it wasn't dictated. It was instead of being dictated, because some of Paul's letters, he dictated them to a secretary. Right. But this one, yes, he wrote himself.
Amen.
So the dating and the setting of the book. The term Galatia was used in an ethnographic sense, that is, culture and geographic origin, and in a political sense. The original sense refers to the central part of Asia Minor, where the Celtic tribes eventually settled after their conflict with the Romans and the Macedonians. But later in 189 BC, Galatia came under Roman domination. And in 25 BC, Augustus declared it a Roman province. The political or provincial Galatia included territory to the south that was not originally considered part of Galatia. And those cities are known as Pisidia, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. There are two theories regarding the dates and the settings of Galatia. We spoke on that before.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose, what was the purpose of Galatia? Justification by faith, apart from work of the law, is the theme of this urgent and corrective book. The three major sections reveal three purposes for which Galatia was written. In chapters 1 through 2, were written to defend Paul's apostolic authority because this established his gospel message. In chapters 3 to 4, were written to give a theological defense of the principles of justification by faith to refute the false teachings of justification by law. Paul uses the law itself to build his case. And then in the last chapters, 5 through 6, were written to show that liberty from the law does not mean lawlessness, as Paul's opponents evidently claim. This epistle shows that the believer is no longer under the law, but is saved by faith alone. It has been said that the Judaism was the cradle of Christianity, but also that it was very nearly its grave as well. God raised up Paul as the Moses of the Christian church to deliver them from bondage. What does that statement mean to you? That God raised up Paul as the Moses of the Christian church to deliver them from this bondage.
From the bondage of the Romans?
Mm-mm. Did you know they didn't get delivered from the bondage of the Romans?
They were in bondage in Egypt, right?
Right, but who are they in bondage to now? Who are they in bondage to? What did the Christian church, what did Paul deliver them from? What kind of bondage?
Wow. What did he deliver them from? The bondage of idols? Sinful idols? I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. So what did they believe in before they heard about Christ?
They believed in the idols. They were worshiping idols.
No, we're talking about the Jews. What was the Jews' practice?
Oh, the Torah.
And what was in the Torah?
Well, it was supposed
the
to
law.
Be
the law.
The law.
The law.
Mm-hmm.
The Torah was made up of the law, right?
Right.
And so this statement is saying that God raised up Paul as the Moses of the Christian church to deliver them from this bondage. What bondage were Christians delivered from? What bondage?
From the law.
Right, from the law. The law was bondage for people because they had to.
They couldn't live
know
by
the
law.
Law was.
Yes.
Right. They
that's
couldn't
why.
Live by the law.
Yep. Even today, they don't want to live by the law.
Well, you talking about the political the laws of the world of the land? Yeah.
Yes.
Right. But then, I mean, Paul's whole thing was to have them believe that they cannot go to heaven. They can't be justified by following the law because it was impossible to keep the law.
Yes.
So he wanted to relieve them of the bondage of the law, right? Galatians is the Christian Declaration of Independence. The power of the Holy Spirit enabled the Christians to enjoy freedom within the law of love. Because what was the two commandments that Jesus gave us?
The true commandments is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love
mm-hmm.
your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right. So those two commandments totally cover the law, right?
Yes.
Because the law here is basically, you know, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Jesus said, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're not going to covet them. You're not going to kill them. You're not all the
right.
things that's listed in the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
If you love them, you wouldn't do those things anyway.
Mm-hmm. But
so love covers
love
all
them.
Of that.
Yes. It covers a multitude of sins.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So the keys in Galatians, the key word is freedom from the law. So if you can get Galatians chapter 2 and read verses 20 to 21 and... And sir, is he still here?
No, he does that every time he comes on.
Oh,
he
comes on often?
Yeah. He just wanted to talk about politics and all that stuff. So, and then he'll make it look good by asking for prayer. Now, he knows that politics and church ain't supposed to mix. So you want me to read 20 and 21?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Well, Christ died because they couldn't keep the law. So in order for us to have any kind of salvation, he had to come down and die on the cross for us.
Amen. Amen. And then the other verse is 5:1, which says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then the key chapter is chapter 5, so we might as well just read the whole chapter, chapter 5.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 5.
This is freedom of the gospel, freedom in Christ. So Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Praise God. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. Ain't that the truth? I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command.
Yes.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, that's what we just said.
But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust for pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Come on, Spirit.
Yes.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and desire of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's teaching in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Praise be to God.
Gosh.
Reading.
This
wow.
was meant for me today. This was really meant for me today. Praise God.
Yes,
thanks for that.
Ma'am. Amen.
Yes. Love that chapter. Chapter 5, Galatians. That's I can see why that's one of the key chapters. So it says the impact of the truth concerning freedom is staggering. Freedom must not be used as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another.
Mm-hmm.
This chapter records the power. Walk in the Spirit and the result, which is the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Of that freedom. That's it. Christ has freed the believer from the bondage of the law, legalism, and the sin, license, and has placed him in a position of liberty. The transforming cross provides for the believers deliverance from the curse of sin, law, and self. Contribution to the Bible. Although Galatians and Romans in common, the poemic tone of Galatians stands in contrast to the ironic tones of Romans. Galatians is written in a sharp language of conflict.
Mm.
It severs severe words, reflecting the urgency of the crisis that had so quickly come upon the believers in that region. avoiding even his customary thanksgivings, Paul immediately launches into his rebuke. The logical development of Galatians is uninterrupted by digression as Paul carefully develops his crucial theme. Is a wide variety of feelings and approaches in this epistle. The severity is broken by tender appeals, and Paul uses personal experiences, Old Testament exegesis, logic, warning, rebuke, and even an allegory to develop his argument. This epistle has had a profound impact upon the history of the church.
Wow.
So when we survey of the Galatians, the epistle to the Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. It is Paul's manifesto of justification by faith. And the resulting liberty. Paul directs this great charter of Christian freedom to people who are willing to give up the priceless liberties they possess in Christ. No price for it. The oppressive theology of certain Jewish legalizers has been causing the believers in Galatia. Thank you. To trade their freedom in Christ for bondage to the law.
Are they
crazy? Paul writes this forceful epistle to do away with the false gospel of works and demonstrate the superiority of justification by faith. This carefully written polemic approaches the problem from three directions. The gospel of grace is defended. That's chapters 1 and 2. The gospel of grace is explained in chapters 3 and 4. And the gospel of grace is applied in chapters 5 and 6. So the gospel of grace defended, which is in chapters 1 and 2. So we can... we should read those. You take chapter 1, I'll take chapter 2.
Okay.
Okay.
One. Didn't we just read 1?
No, we just read 5.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So read chapter 1, or you going to read 1? I'll do 2. Read 1.
However you want to do it, I can start with chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but to raise Jesus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia.
Mm-hmm.
May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
There's only one good news. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again, what we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God.
Amen.
If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's message comes from Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on merely human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me, by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion? How I violently persecuted God's church?
Mm-hmm.
I did my best to destroy it.
He did.
I was far ahead of my fellow Jews. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who before I was. Instead, mm-hmm. I went away to Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. And still, the church in Christ that in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me.
Paul, I tell you, Paul gets right down to the point. He don't
right
even
down to the nitty gritty.
Yes. Yes, he do not hold back anything. If he did something,
nope,
he gonna let you know he did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 2. The apostle accepts Paul. The apostles. Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all of my effort had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question came up only because of some so-called Christians there, false ones. Really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. That ain't gonna happen. But we refuse to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he has given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do.
Yeah.
Paul confronts Peter. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter would not eat with the Gentiles anymore. Isn't that being a hypocrite?
Yes.
Peter was something else. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insist on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter, in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish tradition?
Okay.
You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed. Yes, I tell you, Paul is something else. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. True. But suppose we seek to be right with God through faith in Christ. Mm-mm. And then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner. If I rebuild the old system of law, I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Praise be God.
Amen, amen,
I love Paul. Paul is that.
Oh, man. He don't play. He called you out. He called you right out. He's just like, look.
Paul said, here it is. Take it or leave it. You
That's
have
right.
a choice.
He said, I confronted Peter. He said, I had to oppose him to his face. okay?
That's right.
I'm playing. I'll tell you to your face. I ain't going behind your back. Look,
exactly.
He was wrong.
He knew he was wrong.
Yes, yes.
Oh, boy.
So
Peter always gets himself into trouble.
I know. He's right. It's true. So Paul affirms his divinely given apostleship and presents the gospel. And we see that in chapter 1, 1 through 5. Because it has been distorted by false teachers among the Galatians, Paul launches into his biographical argument for the true gospel of justification by faith, in showing that he received his message not from men, but directly from God.
Mm-hmm.
When he submits his teaching of Christian liberty to the apostles in Jerusalem, they all acknowledge the validity and authority of his message. Paul also must correct Peter on the matter of freedom from the law. So that was there. I'm going to say a prayer for this. We can pray out now. But just when you pray out, say a prayer for the man who said he was wrongly accused and he was going to prison.
How true is that? We don't know. But
we don't know, but we put it in God's hands. And I mean,
yes.
He asked to have prayer, so it's not up to us to judge whether he's going or not. But it's always in God's will. That's why I said to him, I'm not praying for a bill.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm praying if the bill is in God's will that it gets passed, because I'm just not going to, you can't be specific and ask. No, because
nope.
I have to pray if it's in your will, God, because God
right.
is in control. He's sovereign. So he knows if he wants that bill to be passed or not.
Exactly. And then he never said, the bill is that he wants the churches to start paying taxes.
Yeah, to start paying taxes for the community, to build up the community, because I guess they get all this money in tithe. But that's the purpose of the church is to help the community. That's what the tithes and offerings are for.
Exactly.
It's to keep the church going and for the church to be able, that's why you have benevolent offices and stuff like that. For the
mm-hmm.
church, whatever community a church is in, they are supposed to either have some kind of way that they're helping out the community that they're located in, whether it's through, food or clothing or, you know, things like that. They should be helping out the community. But I'm like, I don't know what that bill say.
Exactly.
I can only pray if it's in God's will. That's all I know.
It.
If it's in God's will. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Father God, and all that was said tonight, we ask that you let your will be done, not our will, but your will be done in every situation, every circumstance,
yes.
Whether it's politics or churches or taxes or whatever the case may be, Lord God, we cannot just say, I'm going to pray for this and pray for that. But if it's not in your will, then we are not being true to you. So, Lord God,
yes.
Thank you for this lesson tonight. Thank you for our brother who came on the line and asked for these prayers, Lord God. We thank you again for life, for strength, health, wisdom, understanding. We had a beautiful lesson tonight, and we thank you because without your word, your Bible, we would be lost. We would have
yes.
no laws, nothing to guide us.
Yes.
To guide us in deeper truth into your salvation for us, Lord God. And we thank you for that. Again, let your will be done in everything that we do, say,
mm-hmm.
and whatever we work towards. That is why you sent the Holy Spirit back to guide us into all truth.
Yes, so again, Lord.
In your name we pray. And forgive us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God.
Yes.
And let your
yes.
will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
Be to God. I don't
okay.
like to know. Praying for politics and stuff, you know, because when I started church, it said churches and politics do not mix and never
mm-hmm.
mix them in. But, you know, sometimes times are changing, but it's not the times, it's the people. People
That's
are changing.
Okay.
Yeah, the,
yeah,
everything else stays the same. People are changing.
Mm-hmm.
They're more into materialistic things, more into the world. And you know how many billions of them are out there tonight?
Yeah.
Doing what they do best.
Yeah.
Trying to get rich overnight.
Yeah. I'm going to call you back.
Imagine God's will. Huh?
Hilda.
Yes.
I'm going to call you on the regular phone. I'll tell you
oh.
something.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.